Good morning. I am a little nervous. Hopefully, I don't get too nervous, and it comes out. And when I'm talking, I want to thank everybody that came. Yes, or Friday and Saturday. It looked like a pretty big project, and then it looked even worse when half the wall decided to come down. But by last evening, you've got that wall all laid back up and ready to fill up the blocks. So a lot came together in the last 2 days. And also thank the ladies for the food. Otherwise, we'd have had to go to Wendy's or Sonic, and I think the food was better than if we had to go to a fast food restaurant. This morning, I'm going to start in Colossians 3. And I'll read a little story before I get started. A new preacher came to his first church, a little old country church. The first Sunday, only one person showed up for the morning service, a little old man in bib overalls. The preacher said to the man, "Brother, you seem to be the only one to show up this morning. Should I preach or what?" The little old man replied, "Well, sir, I ain't no preacher. I'm just an old farmer. But if I had a truckload of hay and I went to the pasture and only one cow showed up, I'd feed that cow." The preacher, inspired by these words of wisdom, began to preach like he never had before. He preached everything he had learned or heard and then began to make up stuff. Finally, after 2 hours, he finished. He looked at the little old man and said, "Well, brother, what'd you think of my first sermon here?" The little old man replied, "Well, sir, I ain't no preacher. I'm just a little old farmer. But if I had a truckload of hay and I went to the pasture and only one cow showed up, I wouldn't dump the whole load on him." So I'm going to try not to dump the whole load on you. Try to give a base. A little bit of something yesterday. They were saying something about people they might be tired today. They want to sleep. I told them, well, it could be. It's probably going to be short. And I saw something else that said, the definition of a good sermon should have a good beginning, it should have a good ending, and they should be as close together as possible. So, we're going to keep it close. If you turn to Colossians 3, I'll start at verse 1. If I can find it. And I'm going to, it's going to be the four pillars of relationship. Verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil," whatever the next word is, "and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Picture a church, or picture a house. When you build a foundation, you have to make everything exactly level. All your piers have to come up with the same measurements. You have to get everything. So if you take... have three pillars at 2 feet, and you take one of them, and it only comes out at 18 inches, and you decide to build on that instead of leveling it out, you're going to have a lopsided, very lopsided house. Within
2 to 3 months, that corner is going to sag down. And so that's what kind of what I want to look at. The first one I'm going to start with is love. Love is a great interest in something or someone. Love is unconditional. The word unconditional means that there are no expectations or limitations set. To love unconditionally is a difficult thing, and most humans aren't good at that. But the love really does love without trying to change the other person. Love is accepting those around us. It's accepting those that don't look like us. They're not dressed like us. It's a something that we can always keep giving. We can't, and that's something that I've learned over the last year. It's you have to keep on giving it, whether you want to or not. The pillar has several important characteristics for it to be a strong support. Safety and security, something that we'll feel if we give that love to a person. You want to feel safe and secure in your relationship. You want to be able to breathe a sigh of relief and say, it's nice to relax with someone. Let down the protective armor and be myself. This is the characteristic we enjoy so much in friendship, love. And if this dimension of love is present in a marriage, it's an indication that there's hope for the relationship, either a marriage or person to person, brother to brother, sister to sister. Another one is support. We can always be a support to those around us. Whatever somebody's going through, whatever somebody's doing, walk up alongside them and just encourage them. People want and need to feel supported by those who care for them. A supportive relationship helps you know you're not facing the world alone. You can depend on others to stand with you in difficult times, even when they don't necessarily agree with your stand. Do you have some supportive persons in your life? Who are they? Do they include the person closest to you? Your spouse, your best friend, whoever you confide in. And I think that's very important. If we not be alone, if we feel we need somebody to encourage us or somebody to come beside us and be accountable to them. A supportive person is not only needed during difficult times, but also during good times. When you support others, you encourage them, help them dream and grow, even to the point that they succeed your own level of growth or ability. You use your strengths, capabilities, and skills to lift the other person above yourself. This is sometimes particularly hard for men. Can you handle this? This is an important way for your love to be reflected in a relationship. There will be times when you need support and times when you need to give it. And that right there where it says, this is sometimes particularly hard for men. Trust me, I know, I've been there. It's one of them things where I don't want to tell anybody. Because it makes me feel like I'm a real small person. And from what I've learned in the last couple of years is I want to be feel like I am like I know what I'm doing, like I've got everything together. When deep down inside, it's basically like taking the block wall. It just all shattered and crumbled in pieces. Another one under love is sense of belonging. Each one of us knows the pain of being excluded or rejected. We all have built-in, God-given need for a sense of belonging that comes from being included by others. It makes you feel significant because someone else has opened his or her own private world to you. It's easy to get along with those who accept you, open their hearts to you, and include you in their lives. Who do you have in your life to communicate? Who communicates to you a sense of belonging like this? So, if we don't have somebody to communicate with, we'll turn out to be, for myself, grumpy. It's one of them things where you just kind of, everything just comes to a pile, or everything comes to a surface, and you don't really want to talk to anybody. You don't want to have friends. You don't want to have anybody barging into your life. You want to keep it to yourself. You don't want anybody to know what's happening. Another one is care. We all need somebody to love about us. We all need somebody to care about us and nurture us. When you nurture someone, you invite him or her to take a special place in your heart. You express your care through words as well as through your deeds. When you really care about someone, you're willing to move out of your comfort zone for that person's benefit. It's almost impossible to not connect with someone who cares enough about you to take such a move. Another one is acceptance. I want to be accepted by others. So do you. When we accept others for who they are, we free them from the pressure of being molded into the persons we want them to be. When you accept others, you become compatible with them and get along with them. Acceptance is a thing that it's very hard to do when you look at somebody and they are a homeless person. Somebody doesn't believe the same as you and I do. One person that comes to mind is the governor of New York. It's really hard to accept. I mean, for me, it'd be really hard to accept him. Even if he would come to our church, it'd be really hard to accept him because I know what he believes. I know what he condones to, and it's completely against the Bible. But we still need to accept him as a person. He still has a soul. The next pillar is trust. When it comes to trust, a sign should be hung over it saying, "Handle with care." Some people find it easy to trust, while others find it very difficult. Trusting is making yourselves dependent upon another person for some result or outcome. It's a healthy decision. You can't be forced into it. It's a voluntary response. It's an attitude, and it has three parts. First, you believe in your mind that the other person is trustworthy. Can you list several people in your life at the present time whom you believe is trustworthy? Why do you believe this? Second, there is an emotional response in trust. You feel assurance or confidence in trusting the other person. Who comes to mind here? Finally, your behavior is coming into play when you act on the trust you perceive. Trust, the meaning of trust, is firm belief in the character, strength, or the truth of someone or something he places trust in, a person or thing in which confidence is placed. How much confidence do we place in people? Do we place our trust in things, in people that are in the world? Or do we place our trust in more people that portray Christ, portray God to us, and keep us on that right track or on the road to where we're headed? Trust is when you're in the water and a friend reaches down his hand to pull you out. You reach up and grasp it. You don't hesitate or debate whether he really wants to rescue you. You believe, you feel confident. You reach out. But there is a risk in trust. The other person could let you down. Although all life involves some risk, loving makes you especially vulnerable. In fact, you can't be in a loving relationship unless you're willing to run the risk of being hurt. How do you know if you really trust the other person or not? You don't have a backup plan in case the other person lets you down. You don't have a plan B in case he or she fails. I've seen the subtle ways trust is undermined in marriages or other relationships. For example, a person says he will do something, but his partner calls him or leaves reminder notes to be sure he does it, or even calls his store to check on him. Which, that's my problem, is I forget about stuff, so I need my wife to remind me about stuff. Yes, it's true. When you trust, you're vulnerable. When two people in a relationship have mutual trust, they are sending messages to one another. I have confidence in you. I will be here for you when no one else is. You can depend on me for little and large things. I will be consistent, not changeable or impulsive. You can depend on me to speak the truth. And that last one, you can depend on me to speak the truth. Too many times we get to the point where we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to hurt, or I don't want that person to hurt my feelings. And I get offended because they say, I don't know, they see something in your life that they don't believe is right, and they say something to you, and you get offended, but yet they're feeling like they had that confidence or trust that they could say it to you and do some good for you. So the question is, if you're in a relationship, to what degree is that person trustworthy? And yes, the next question is, are you a person of trust? Do I consider myself a person that can somebody can come to and speak their heart to, and I won't go tell Harley that, hey, so-and-so brother, he's got a problem, man, there's something wrong with him. But other, I will go and keep him in my prayers, and I will encourage that brother that has confided in me. The next pillar is respect. The meaning of respect is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. The third foundation for a relationship, respect or honor, is the most neglected. Throughout Scripture, we are told to honor one another. Have you been honored or respected by others? If so, you know what this concept means. It must occur between partners in a significant relationship. Basically, respect is recognizing and acknowledging the other person's value, worth, or value. Significantly, this requires that you honor and respect yourself. For if you don't respect yourself, how can you give respect to someone else? Do you understand the extent of your own value and worth? It's nothing you earn. It's given to you by God. Let's remember how God sees us. He doesn't compare you with the other people he has created. He has given you your own capabilities and potential. He expects you to develop and use only what he has given you, not what he has given someone else or wants you to develop and use what you have so you won't miss out on life. You are God's workmanship. I'm also going to read a verse out of Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, for which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has given us a workmanship. We are the ones that walk what he has written in his word. And if we don't walk that, nobody can see what he has said in his word. I've heard many times that we are a walking testament. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing. I've noticed even on my own jobs, and I'm working on the job, and somebody walks up, a subcontractor walks up, and something happens, and he goes to cursing and swearing, and all of a sudden he just... Something says something in his head, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I haven't even said anything. And that's something that, even for myself, I have to keep in mind, because the testimony that I am to them, the respect that I show to them, shows to them that I have something that they don't have or that they would like to have. And it sends a message, even if I didn't say anything. Jesus Christ invites us to come to him by faith, believing that he will accept us as we are into his family. If God and Jesus Christ are with us at all times, we need not feel inferior or inadequate. God is our source of adequacy. We can love ourselves without pangs of guilt. We can love ourselves without having to defend our actions. You have value, but so does the person you're interested in. The higher the value of something, the greater the care and attention we pay to it. A $1,000 diamond does not have the same value of protection and security as a $10 million gem. Your value your value in everyone else's. Simply this, John 3:16. I haven't said this verse in so long, so I can't quote it right off the top of my head. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is something that we can believe in. We have God believes in us that we can take his word to those around us and show respect for those that are around us. How do we honor and respect another person? There are several simple steps. Which, when it says simple steps, sometimes they can be hard steps. You show acceptance, you give recognition, you give affirmation and encouragement. You believe in others and you look for ways to build them up. You're a cheerleader. Believing in them even when they don't believe in themselves. You don't take for granted what they do or who they are. Paul counsels, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. You give appreciation. You give admiration. All these ways of showing respect are communicated by what you say and what you don't say to each other, as well as by your nonverbal communication, by just being there for that person. I believe a lot of how we go about our life and how we feel about ourselves is by how we communicate to each other, how we build each other up and encourage each other. And somebody tells me something and I go over and tell somebody else, hey, this brother's this and this, and it comes back and they find out that I went and told somebody else, and that person went and told somebody else, and by the time it gets back, half of it ain't even true. It's a thing of that ruins all trust. And you can build up trust. You can build up a relationship. It can take 10 years to build a relationship. And in 2 seconds, you can lose everything that you've had for the last 10 years because of something that you've either said and you didn't mean it that way, or you went to somebody else and said something to them and they told you in trust, so you went and told the other person, and it can just get torn down. The fourth pillar is the pillar of understanding. The fourth essential element of a closer relationship, and the one that is so often short-circuited, is understanding. The first three elements are dependent upon this one. Understanding only develops over time. It's based on knowledge. You understand others by getting inside of them and seeing life from their perspective, through their eyes. It involves a tremendous amount of communication, of asking, sharing, and listening. Understanding means comprehension, sympathetically aware of other people's feelings, having insight or good judgment. And this is something that I have to say is, over the last couple months, or last year or so, is having somebody that they don't completely understand what you say, they haven't been through it, but they're there every time you want to vent, every time you just, the crock pot is full and it's building up pressure and you completely explode, they sit there and they listen, and they every now and then they give a word of advice, but they don't try to tell you how to fix it. They just are there for you in whatever you're going through. Your partner will never understand you unless you reveal yourself. Nor will you ever understand another unless he or she is open with you. And that's something, if you can't be open with somebody, they can't give you encouragement like they feel they should. It's one of those things that if you don't trust them, then you won't be completely open with them. What is revealed on based What is revealed is based on trust. What is based on how well you know one another, which is based on what is revealed. The risk of relationship. All these pillars are foundation stones of close relationships involve an ingredient called risk. How many times do we not want to take the risk of trusting anybody? Do we not want to take the risk of loving someone because of fear that we won't get anything back? A fear that even though we love them, they will turn around and stab you in the back, or they will go on to the next person and gossip about you because it's not the way they see it. Neither love nor trust nor respect nor understanding will lead to a loving relationship unless both parties are willing to risk being vulnerable. And being vulnerable does not feel good, because you are in a state where you just pretty much open yourself up for whatever comes your way. But being vulnerable, but you don't have to be vulnerable and take everything in that comes your way. So everything boils down to being willing to risk. This is the foundation and the basis of all relationships. Through this, you can discover who's the best for you and who isn't. Always keeping in mind the spiritual dimension. Always keeping in mind the path we're on and who we're striving to serve and where we're striving to go. Since relationships are risky, the choice to having a meaning, lasting connection with a significant other may not be an easy choice. However, the rewards of an intimate relationship make it one of the greatest choices you will ever make. And one of the greatest choices that you will ever make is to serve the one true God, serve the one that died for us, and keep him close to us to whatever we go through. Found a song, or I like a song by Chris August that I was gonna let me get Calvin to play. The name is Restore. It talks some about marriage, but it talks about a lot about how we can, how God can bring everything back together, even though everything is completely shattered. If he can play that now, and then after that, we'll have a song, or I'll have a prayer, and then we'll have a song.
Nobody's growing old together. We've made it easy just to quit. Love has become a negative percentage. Why do we bother to commit? We've got a long list of excuses, ways we try to justify. Well, I propose to you the truth is, marriage does not have to die. I know you're feeling like it's falling apart, and it can't go on anymore. But God is a God who knows how to heal, so just give it up to the He will restore. He said, with this ring, I promise. And with that do, she said, forever. But right now, if they're being honest, they don't know if they'll stay together. Let's fast forward to the future. left her struggling on their own. They finally figured out they needed Jesus in the middle. Now I'm watching God rebuild their home. I pray I find a love like yours. So if you feel it like it's falling apart and it can't go on anymore, God is a God who knows how to heal. So just give it up to the Lord and He will restore. Like it was before. You may have strayed off course, but He will restore.
So who's got the power? It's an awesome feeling that we have a power that we can rely on, that God gives that to us. Brian, do you have a song? Let's stand. Let's pray. God, we come before You this morning. We thank You that You have given us that power, that You give us that power to conquer the trials that come our way, and that You help restore the pieces that have been blown to pieces. And I just, God, pray that You would go with us through this week, and that we could be a testimony to those around us, that You would guide and direct our feet. And we pray that You would also be with the ones that go into the prisons this week. Give them courage and strength. We pray in Your name. Amen.
We are one.